We're talking about Love Revolution in our love series. We're talking about part five, Boundaries of Love. So if you want to get the archives or go into the archives, you can go on Facebook, Destiny Church, WNC on Facebook, and you can watch the previous four sessions. This is part five. I encourage you to do that if you haven't done that, because we're ministering all areas of love. That's why we're calling it Love Revolution. And with all that's going on in our nation right now, how many of you know this nation needs to know the love of God? Amen. They need to have an experience. They need to have an encounter. They need to have, listen, need to have an encounter with the love of God. Amen. So many times bitterness can be eradicated when a son and daughter of God, such as yourself and myself, show up. Amen. And we're not condemning, we're not putting people down. What are we doing? We're saying, hey, man, you got problems? So do I. But there's a loving heavenly Father that will help you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll comfort you. He'll show you things. Amen. He'll help you through your pain. He'll help you through being bitter. Come on. Amen. We said this in the previous session. We're not looking to be bitter. We are looking to be what? Better. How many know you can't be bitter and better at the same time? You're either going to be bitter or you're going to be better. And that is a choice. Amen. What choice is it? I'm going to respond from God's love that is in me. Amen. I'm going to make a decision today. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to be better. Amen. And so I encourage you to go on Facebook. You can go on destinychurchwnc.com, our website, and go to the media tab, and you can listen to all the messages there. Amen. Every day we're getting better and better and better on the technical side as a church, trying to get our content out so people can hear it. Amen. Share these messages with people. Start a watch party. Amen. We don't believe that we're just teaching things just to teach things. Amen. We're believing that God gives us the message. We study it out and we put it before you. Amen. Because he knows what you need. Amen. And so, we're in part five. You can go back to Facebook or to online, destinychurchwnc.com, and listen to that. I highly, highly recommend you do that. But again, part five, boundaries. We're talking about boundaries of love. And so we're going to hit some things this morning real quickly about children. And you say, well, I don't have children, or I've already had children. Well, I don't want to encourage you this morning that there's something that you can take from this message today that you can take to a mama, a papa, to a friend. How many of you know you could take this revelation, you could take the word of God, amen, and you could take it and be a blessing to somebody else's life? How many know the Bible talks about me, but the Bible always talks about we? Come on. God is thinking about not just you, but he's thinking about the body of Christ, the church. And so whether you've raised your kids this morning, whether, you know, you say, well, I've got kids, don't tune out. Come on. Take hold of the revelation and information that's going to come forth this morning, and we believe that it will be a great blessing to you. So starting off this morning, we'll put up, can we get the first slide up? Hallelujah. The first slide this morning, we're going to get into this. Boundaries of love. So on the screen this morning, you see a text from a father and a child, and it says, how could you? I trusted you, and you cheated on me. Oh, sorry, Dad, that was meant for Jim. Then it says, Dad says, oh, on a completely unrelated topic, have you seen my shotgun anywhere? Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. My kids ain't old enough yet, but my girls, we're going to be having that conversation. Amen. And you go to the next slide. Next slide says, bathroom break, they will find you. What are you talking about? Mamas and daddies, those of you who've had kids, you know what this picture is. You just try to go and get 5 or 10 minutes in the bathroom. And how many of you know your kids are like under there finding you, their little hands, come on, knocking on the doors? I remember my kids, they still do that now. And that's why I have a bathroom inside my off my bedroom so I can lock my door. Anybody relate to that? Amen. They can't get in. Next slide. Hallelujah. It says the first week of school. Come on, how many of you know when your kids go to school? The first week of school, sandwich cut in a cute shape like sliced fruit, encouraging note. And the last week of school, you get a handful of croutons wrapped in aluminum foil. How many of you know I can relate to that? Anybody relate? I think that's why my parents always, even growing up where I grew up, I think that's why they always gave me lunch money, so they didn't have to really worry about that. I got the, anybody get the free lunch? Come on, I got the free, I just brought my 40 cents back in the 80s, and, you know, that's all I needed was 40 cents. Lunches today are like $5 a pop. You think your kid's hustling you when they come for lunch money. Where are you putting all this money? Amen. Next slide. Hallelujah. It said, Game of Thrones around here just means finding a toilet with least amount of pee on the seat. I mean, some of you are like, I can't even believe you just put that up there. I mean, how many of you know, I'm not going to elaborate on that, but you know that happens. Amen. Dad, you need to be having a conversation with your boys. Amen. And a lot of us, we probably shouldn't go there with that one. How many of you know, Pastor, will go there? I'll go there. So if you're taking notes this morning, we're going to dive right into this. I want to talk about, real quickly, boundaries of love. And can we just have some living room talk this morning? You know what living room talk is? When I come into your living room, we sit down and we just have our coffee. I hope you got your coffee this morning. Let's just have some living room talk. Can we do that this morning? Come on, I get structure in a service and I love that. But sometimes you just need to have straight talk. Sometimes you just need to let down your guard, kick off your shoes, relax your feet. Come on, let down your hair and just sit in your PJs and just have straight talk. So we're gonna take on that mentality this morning. So the four stages of parenting. And I want to say this, ages are appropriate. Year 1 through 5, we're going to talk about kids. How about the discipline years? Years 1 through 5. Learning consequences for behavior. Discipline for obedience. Dishonesty and disrespect. Listen, this is the time where we need to celebrate like crazy the good stuff. Come on, we need to celebrate in what? The good stuff like crazy. This is where we are practicing safety with many of our kids. Many of you, you got the baby stops up, you got the sharp stuff, you got the come on, those of you have been builders for years. I was part of growing up in a builder's home. How many of you know, you're just building the home. You're not thinking about kids, man. You're just going according to design. But then the couple moves in and they see, first thing, they got young babies and they see all the sharp places. And so the first thing they do is put corners and edges up and every, you know, like little rubber pieces. So what? The child can't run through and bang their head, right? So year 5 through 12, we call this the training years. The why behind the what? The why behind the what? Explaining their behaviors, connecting their behaviors to the broader world. How about this? I don't do homework and the grades suffer, right? This is when the kids come. How many of you know, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the what behind the why. This is why we do our homework, so your grades don't suffer. But I don't want to do my homework. I used, growing up as a kid, I had two older siblings, and they were excellent in their schoolwork. They would always turn in the homework, as far as I know, and I could see. But I hated homework. Does anybody relate to that? I hated going to school all day. I could have been Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. I'm like, I did not want to sit in a school all day long, which, by the way, growing up where I grew up in Florida, we had to be at the bus stop at like 6:30 in the morning to be at school by 8 because they ran the buses together. Anybody relate to that pain right there? Just getting up. Amen. And I liked my Donald Duck and my Mickey Mouse before I went to school. Now I was ticked when I woke up late. Why? Because I wasn't able to watch my cartoons. And you came home at the end of the night or end of the day and you watched the what? The Rescue Rangers. Anybody remember that? Oh, you had the Rescue Rangers and you got, you know, Darkwing Duck and a lot of these cartoons that, you know, from the 80s, y'all looking at me and like, All right. How about years 12 through 18, the coaching years? You're more on the sidelines, connecting more than correcting. Let me say that again. You're connecting 12 to 18, you're connecting more than you're correcting. We're going to hit on some things this morning I pray would be a blessing to you. This is where you allow for natural consequences. You allow for natural consequences. And I want to hit this real quick, connecting more than you're correcting. Listen, there's some things I'm going to say this morning. Listen, this isn't the complete entire context of parenting in 30 minutes. You do understand that this morning. But we're going to hit some highlights that we believe will be a blessing to you and to provoke your thinking. Amen. Some of us, we grew up in different discipline types. How about this one? How about the authoritarian type? Anybody grow up in this house? They make all the decisions, control through fear. uses reward and punishment to control a child's behavior. You know, the goal was unquestioned obedience. Unquestioned obedience. Eat your vegetables or you won't get dessert. Amen. And can I just say that you can, what you hear this morning, if you identify some things that need to change, come on, work with the Holy Spirit. God will help you with that. How many of you know I got four kids, and I understand this authoritarian because this is more where I come from. I'm like, bro, you're going to do what I tell you to do or else. And you're not going to get your dessert or else. But how many of you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, come on, the Word of God, finding out what the Bible says about children. Amen. With the help of the Comforter that's with us. How many of you know the Holy Spirit will help you? And so over the years, I'm not endeavoring to be the perfect parent because there is no such thing as a perfect parent. Come on. But we are parents who are what? Listening to the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, and coaching our kids in the Word, what? Listening to the Holy Spirit. And so you can move. If you identify yourself in an area, there's no say this with me. Say, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand this? Amen. And so I was authoritarian, and how many of you know God's working on me? Amen. How many of you know my daughters, I look at them, and I wink at them and tell them to stop, and they're done. How many of you know my son, my older son, he's here in the room, and so this is nothing, wave at everybody, Caleb. He's like, this isn't nothing that anybody does to know. And he's like, why would you talk about your son? Because we communicate these things. I said, I'm going to use you as a sermon illustration. Are you okay with that? And he's like, psh, whatever. Why? Because he's growing and learning. So there's no condemnation here. So here's what happened. There's times where I've with authoritarian. I understand this discipline type. It's I told you 5 times not to do that. And if you do that again, I'll. Come on. Amen. All right, how about the permissive parent? We'll get back to Caleb in a minute. We love you, buddy. The permissive. How about avoid conflict at all costs? The permissive. You have a high need to be liked. Does anybody relate to that? You want to be liked more. You put the discipline. You're like, come here, authoritarian. Come here for a minute. And the permissive says, you handle this. But the permissive says, I want to be my child's mom, but also want to be her best friend. Amen. And let me clarify, there's nothing wrong with being friends, but you are you're a mom and a dad first. Amen. And there's a biblical responsibility on the parent to be that first. Amen. And so the two-year-old, what, throws a tantrum in the store because he wants candy, then ends up with it. It will be the 16-year-old who takes the keys to the car without your permission. Come on. Man, I was studying this out, and I said, me. I can identify with that. So we got authoritarian, discipline type, permissive. How about the reality? Reality, discipline type. How about the love and acceptance? Child or children are allowed to what? Fail. Let me say this. Your children are allowed to fail, but your children aren't failures. Do we understand that? We need to be okay with letting our kids kind of fall sometimes. Okay? It's good to see what you put in them and watch your kid learn how to rebound on his own given the specific age, especially like teenagers. It's good to see that dads, moms, what you put into your family. Watching your kids, I'm getting ahead of myself, but watching your children rebound. Come on, you identify with the pain and the hurt. You see the hurt and the pain, right? Reality, but are unconditionally loved. So they're allowed to fail, unconditionally loved, and lets reality be the teacher. Provides decision-making opportunities. Listen, I know this is a bold statement. I want to make this, but see, the bottom line, you can't make your child mind. Nobody has that kind of power over a human being. You said, I can make my kid mine. You got to get what we're saying here. What we're saying, it's not about force. It's a desire to cultivate the love of God in them, the respect, the honor. How many know the Bible has a lot to say about honor? Come on. And so it's easy. I've been this authoritarian type in my own life, so I can relate to this type of discipline type, right? But I've moved over. The Lord's working with Pastor. The Lord's working with me, shaping me and changing me. Why? Because I want my kids to grow up and be everything. Come on, it's not just the army. Be all that you can be in the army. We heard that? Come on, I don't want my kids as being all they can be just in the army. If they want to join the military, praise the Lord. And I want to give a shout out this morning. Jared, stand up. He's going to hate me for this. Stand up. We have a military veteran that served our country right here. Come on. I want to give a shout, give a clap. Hallelujah. Come on, give some more than that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We got somebody that served your country faithfully in here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Three deployments. Praise God. And so he's just back recently. So shake his hand, hug his neck. That's really probably going to annoy him that I just told y'all to do that. But I like messing with Jared. Jared's an awesome man. I love his brother. His brother and his family. He's got extended family and other brothers. Some of them I met, and his father. They're great people, great family. And so thank you, Jared. We love you, dude. And if we don't do that in church to get a big hoorah, how many know we really believe that? Come on. And the man that honors his country and he gave his life, amen. And so what are you saying? It's about, come on, the reason why he joined, because he sensed such honor to join, come on, to take care, represent you as the United States of America. Come on, he felt a sense of duty, a sense of honor. Amen. How many of you know that was put in him? Amen. And so it probably wasn't hard to convince him. So we're going to make a few points this morning. We talked about the authoritarian, the permissive, and the reality discipline types. So God our Father, listen, God our Father is the ultimate parent. Do you believe that this morning? Because he is the ultimate parent. How many of you know he coached Jesus all the way, come on, when Jesus left heaven, took upon flesh, became a man, come on, he lived and suffered just like you and I did. And then he went all the way to the cross, took a beating, come on, put in a tomb, rose from the dead, and now seated at the right hand of the Father. How many of you know it was a loving heavenly Father that guided Jesus from birth all the way to death and to resurrection? Come on, the Father God, he said, come on. He was right there with him all the way through in the Garden of Gethsemane. What do you see? The ultimate parent happening, in my opinion. Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go to the cross. Let this cup pass from me. Come on, he's sweating blood. Jesus is feeling. He's feeling. Parents, some of you have sweat blood. Some of you that are aunts and uncles, you can relate because you've helped raise your nieces and nephews. You've helped raise other children. Amen. But Jesus, sweating blood, feeling the weight of sin and death, is getting ready to go. He knows what he's going to have to do. He knew it before he even came. All through the Gospels, you see Jesus say this, I am about my Father's will. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. Whatever he tells me to say, that's what I say. So you can take for sure that when the Father God, when Jesus, come on, our example, tells us to do something, it's from an understanding that he has a relationship with a loving heavenly Father. He knows, come on, the faithfulness of his Father's words. Some of you in here, you know the faithfulness of your mom and your dad or your guardian, or maybe you came out of an orphanage and there is those that are around you, surround you, that raised you, but you know the weight of their words. You know there's value in their words. Michael, you can count on when they give their word will not be broken. Do you hear what I'm saying? Their word is legit. How many know God our Father is the ultimate parent? Let me say it again. So he helped Jesus. Jesus said, listen, Father, I know what you told me to do, and I'm going to do it. But if you can, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, what? Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can count on Jesus. Come on. When he's our example that the Bible says we are to look to. Amen. The disciples, the Father God. So point number one I want to make, when we overperform, our children do what? They underperform. What do you mean by that? Well, see, you are robbing your child of self-respect and self-esteem by doing things for them. Listen, all the time. All the time. Now, there's times where I do things for my children, but I don't want to overperform by doing everything for them all the time because I'm not helping build self-respect and self-esteem into my kid. Amen. And so what is it that you have to do to get your child to obey? Think about that for a second. Do you have to ask them again and again and again? Do you have to raise your voice, come on, and threaten them to get them motivated? When we overperform, our children underperform. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying this, that children inherently want to please. Children inherently, they want to please. They want to obey. And see, here's the thing, is if God's word is 100% sure, when God says he'll do it, he will do it. How many of you know when Jesus said, Father, I'm taking this all the way to the cross, and I see generate, we were singing this morning. Come on, may your favor be upon you for 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and your children. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just see you, he saw generations. Amen. And so when he said, come on, at your word, we're going to look at an example in John. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 9:6. We're going to look at the blind man. See, our word, if our Father's word is good, his word is good, it's legit. Come on, Jesus' word is solid. We can count on the word of God. Then listen, folks, moms, dads, our words have to be solid. When we say something, come on, amen, it needs to be gold. What are you saying? When we overperform, our children underperform. So can our kids look at us and say, this is the word? Come on, whether you like it or not, here's the word. How many of you know, I'm 41 years old, I still talk to my parents. I still go to my parents and talk to them about things. Some of you may not have had parents, you may go in a different direction. And what you say, why you keep saying that? Because we have a generation that's grown up with a lot of fathers not present, a lot of mothers not present. And so we need to address that too. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I'm a pastor. I want to hit it from all angles. I don't want anybody feeling left out. Because I believe the word that we're teaching today is relevant to everyone. There's something you can take from this. And so parents, come on, aunts, uncles, whoever you are, our word has to be solid. Jesus is our example. His word was good. And how many of you know Jesus risked his reputation? What do you mean? Well, let's read this. John 9:6 says, talking about the blind man. Here's Jesus spitting on the ground. It says in verse 6, chapter 9, it says, then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud all over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means, Siloam means sent. And so the man went and washed and came back what? Seeing. So what was the command that happened here? This is a man that came wanting to what? See. Jesus, come on, what did he do? He spit on the ground in mud, wiped it over the man's eyes, told him directly where to go. Think about this. See, the divine command, Jesus said, I never do anything on my own accord. Whatever the Father tells me to do, that's whatever I do, and whatever he tells me to say. How many of you know this is a transaction with the Father right now? He could have just spoke and the man's eyes could have been open. But that wasn't what the Father told him to do. The Father spit in some mud, come on, wipe it over his eyes, and then tell him to go to this pool. How many of you know there's different pools? He could have gone to any one of them. And what's your point here? See, Jesus gave his word. What are you saying? I'm saying the results are tied to obedience, not comfort. And the connection to parenting here is if Jesus overperformed, this man would have underperformed. What do you mean? Well, Siloam is just too far, so Jesus decided to go to another pool. Come on. And so what are you saying? I'm saying John 5:18 through 20. Write that down for context. He said, whatever the Father tells me to do, that's what I do. Amen. See, if Jesus doesn't follow through with his word, he puts his reputation on the line. See, many people in the area are going, they're seeing miracle signs and wonders happening. Come on, the Bible says that at a word, Jesus spoke. And when you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all through the Gospels. What is the point? Our word has to be good. Amen. Jesus is our example. We can't be changing our mind all the time, trying to overperform. Some of you, the Holy Spirit leads you. Come on, you're listening to God, you're reading the word, you're parenting in the Holy Spirit book 101, parenting. Amen. Come on, you didn't have all the answers. You just prayed and asked God to lead you as a mom or as a dad. Come on. I do that every day. I'm like, Lord, help me lead my family. Show me how to lead. I don't want to overperform, and I want my word to be solid. Come on. Amen. And so what if the man didn't obey and Jesus healed him anyway? His reputation would be on the line. His words, listen, here at this point, Jesus' words would begin to be questionable. Do you see this? Come on, you begin to question his reputation. You begin to question, you know, his words. You begin to think about things. See, here's the thing. We expect the best with our kids. What are we talking about? Our kids, we expect the best. Have clear expectations. Come on, when you say be good in the store, moms and dads, some of you have older kids. This may not relate to you, but I believe this will bless you. You can help somebody with this. You need to be not general. You need to be specific. What does that mean when we go in the store? And what does it mean to be good? What are your expectations? So here's the thing. Don't completely clear all the roadblocks for them. Don't completely clear all the roadblocks for them. This is how they learn and build self-esteem. Listen, we need to praise their efforts, not just their accomplishments. Praise their efforts. Come on, all the time we're praising just accomplishments. Sometimes your kids need to be, come on, we went to Pigeon Forge this weekend and my son got a go-kart for the first time. And he crushed it. It was awesome. But before, he would admit, he couldn't stand the sound. We would ride times before, and he would put his fingers in his ears and be like, this is just too loud. I can't stand it. And then I'd be like, well, I'll drive. And he's like, no way, dude. I don't want to be about that speed. And so, you know, this was an opportunity to praise his effort. But it was also, it got to the point where he accomplished something. And so I just gave him a little bit of love in that. So are you your child's best friend? Are you your child's best friend? Do you try to make things as easy as possible for your child by fixing? Say that word with me, fix. Do you try to fix everything? Amen. Some of you future parents-to-be, this is where I'd be taking notes, man. Are you fixing everything? Do you make all the decisions for your child? Listen, and I put boom here in my notes because I love this. Being happy all the time isn't real life. Come on, when it comes to kids, being happy all the time. Yeah, we want to be happy. Nobody wants to be miserable. When it comes to your children and setting parameters and discipline, what are you saying? I'm saying being happy all the time isn't real life. If that is your goal for your child, you're setting them up to fail. You're setting them up to fail. And can they be disappointed? This is the question. Can your kids be disappointed and work themselves through it? Think about that. Even the little ones. I know you got some young ones in here. I got some young ones. Can your youngins work through it? See, this is where the authoritarian and many different personalities come in. I'm thinking me. I'm like, bro, I told you to stack the wood. Come on. Come on, you just cut 2 hours worth of wood and you got a kid sitting here and what's going on? I'm like, they can't even stack it the way you just spent 45 minutes trying to tell them how to stack it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So can they be disappointed and work themselves through it, or do they fall apart, unable to get a grip? And listen, I'm not talking about babies here. Come on, there's an age variable here we're talking about. See, consistency is a must. Otherwise, it is very confusing to the child. Parents, your children need consistency. They need it. They need you to be consistent. And it's very confusing to a child when we aren't. And I've been erratic like this in my own life, where I've allowed things and didn't allow. Come on, you're not getting on your tablet today, bro. An hour later, they're on their tablet. Do you hear what I'm saying? You keep bending. We're going back to overperforming. Your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? I know this ain't a shouter. It's like, not like a woo, but it's good. Come on. We got some scripture we're talking about. The word of God we're talking about. Amen. Some of you right now got friends. You're trying to figure out how to help them. How many of you know you just don't do that with your own intellect? And well, this is what? How we do it. This is how we did it. It worked for us. It may not work for them. Amen. And that's where we get the help of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and say, God, what do I do here? And God will speak to you and say, be consistent. And see, here's the thing. It also encourages, we're not consistent, it encourages bargaining and begging because sometimes you cave. Been here, done that. Do you use rewards and punishment to control your child's behavior? Amen. Something to think about there. Rewards and punishment to control behavior. When kids misbehave, listen, parents, we need to be asking ourselves why. Is it character issues? Come on, character issues. Is it immaturity? They may just be immature. I was there. Come on, at 41 years old, there's things I'm still learning. Amen. Immaturity. How about lack of sleep? You ever had your kid get a lack of sleep? Maybe your teenagers? Come on, even my young one, when Hannah doesn't get sleep, my four-year-old, man, it's just like, whoo. Come on, it gets crazy in my house. Because she wakes up, does anybody relate to that? Your kid has its language, and it's I could tell stories, but we got to get out of here. And so until, here's the thing, I want to say this. When kids, let me say it again, when they misbehave, ask yourself why. Do they need sleep? Do they need some time alone? Do they need a character booster? You know what a character booster is? You go put them with Papa and Mama. You go put them with Grandma and Grandpa. Come on, you get them to some folks that grew up around the Great Depression and World War II and put them out there and put them around some different personality types and get them out from under your nest and your wing and let them experience some other personalities and some other giftings and let them, come on, how many of you pawpaws and mama, grandma and grandma, you like to take the babies out, man, and you may ride them out and on the golf cart or take them out and do things, whatever it is that you do, but you know that's character building when you do that. Grandma's grandpa, when you grab your children, nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles, come on, friends of the family, when you grab those children, you're helping build character. Amen. And so until we follow through, amen, they're not going to follow through. Let me say it like this. Until they follow through, you don't follow through. The room is not clean. They don't attend the birthday. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you have your word, what are we talking about? Your words. Don't make a big deal about it. Listen, don't gloat and raise your voice. Just let it go and know that this is, right, Rick? This is fact. This is fact. You're not going to the party. This is just how it is. I'm not gloating. I'm not picking on you. You might have a teenager, been looking forward to that party all week, but there's been some behavior that's just out of character. Are you rewarding them with the party? Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so it's a fact. Until they follow through, you don't follow through. Continuing on here, when your temper rises and your voice escalates, you teach them that in a stressful situation, you yell or become out of control. Been there. Amen. And don't be surprised. Listen, when your kids, when you get out of control, don't be surprised when they get out of control on you. Amen. We're sowing this. You do realize we're sowing this into the child. Amen. A lot of times we're looking to build character within the child, and we need to let the Lord at the same time build character within us. How many of you know that never stops? You never stop learning. You never stop growing. Come on. Amen. And I've found people who stop learning and stop growing start dealing more with absolutes. Do you feel me on that? Come on. This is how it's going to be, my way or the highway. See, when you humble yourself and you be like, listen, man, this is a hard thing. But even in my age I'm at now, I'm hungry to grow and to be humble to learn. Amen. Because Jesus humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Why? To help me. Amen. So it's not just about the kid, but it's building character in you too. How about growing with your children? Amen. Grow with your child, no matter what their age. Invest in them. Amen. So listen, don't be surprised. Listen, you fight fair or you're being a bully or manipulate. What are you saying? Here's the thing here. He said that's a mouthful right there. Listen, when your tempers rise, voices escalate, you teach them stressful, in a stressful situation, you yell and become out of control. Don't be surprised. We said this when they do it, but do you fight fair? Let me say it, rephrase that. Or do you bully and manipulate? How many of you know bullying is not the love of God? How many of you know manipulating is not the love of God? Amen, being forceful. But how many of you know you can say, God, help me in this situation? A lot of us were raised in an authoritarian or, you know, these different type of discipline types. And you may be married where you have, you know, a parent that's like, okay, you come over here and handle this. But listen, you need to build character. Allow God to build character in you. Let this be a teaching moment for you. Amen. And it doesn't matter. Listen, parents, it doesn't matter. Let me say this. If you fall flat on your face, amen? Even if you fall flat, you say, listen, man, I do bully my kid a little bit. And I'm not, listen, I don't know, some of you guys and gals are thinking in here, I'm bullying. I'm not talking about this online stuff that's going around. I'm talking about when God, the Holy Ghost, come on, the creator of heaven and earth, speaks to you on the inside and says, that's not acceptable. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about somebody that don't know. I'm talking about somebody that said, oh, you're just bullying. No, I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit takes his finger and puts it upon your heart and says, hey, man, because he's done it to me. He'll do it to you. There's times where my kids, the Lord's like, don't talk to him that way. Because he's not receiving it. And I'm like, well, it's my way, the highway, Lord. This is how, you know, and it's, tell God that. You'll love the response. Because he'll take you right over to his word and remind you of his love and compassion. And he doesn't like smack you. God doesn't beat you. He goes, hey, man, remember this part in the Gospels where I had compassion on this person? Do you remember when the disciples had compassion on this person? Yeah, that was me working through them. He's like, you need to have a little bit more compassion and a little bit more understanding. And this is where we bring the Holy Spirit in. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it does require, listen, it does require for you to yield to God. You don't have to, folks. Amen? And so I want to say this, that every time you cave, listen. You say, well, what are you talking about? When tempers rise, voices escalate. Every time you cave, you make future tantrums last longer and more aggressive. What are you talking about? Well, see, kids are watching everything we do. So when we have a little white lie or we call in sick and go to the water park, I mean, you know, you just lied right in front of your kids and you're demonstrating to them exactly what not to do. You said that's bold. Listen, every time we cave and make tantrums, they last longer and more aggressive. What are you saying in that? I'm saying you're allowing God to work with you and you correct from, you know what? I have a conviction about lying. I have a conviction about these white lies. I have a conviction about how these things are being handled and what I've allowed in our house. And I just feel in my heart, God's speaking to me concerning these areas. And so your kid throws a crazy mad tantrum because they're not getting what they want. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? And it doesn't matter whether they're 3 or 13. What they have learned, they can unlearn. Does anybody relate to that this morning? Is there things you would say, I have. There's things that I have learned I have had to unlearn. Amen, because God is speaking to me. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit is the teacher? The Word of God is the teacher. And the Word and the Spirit agree. And the Holy Spirit is not going to speak apart from the Word. Amen. And so here's the thing. When it comes to kids, listen, they'll figure it out. We need to be consistent as parents. Amen. And so let them have, I want to say it like this, let them have some power when it comes to your children. And say yes as much as you can. Give your kids choices when appropriate rather than absolutes. Let them have some power. You know, I grew up under a great man of God. He was in youth ministry for years and did camps around the world. He told me one day when we were having Caleb, we were down in Florida at a wonderful church. And he spoke to me. We're at the mall walking around and eating some lunch. And he said to me, he said, you know, if you would learn to tell your kid what he can do instead of spending so much time telling him what he can't do. And I said, whoa, that's a mouthful right there. Amen. I said, whoa. And you know, that stuck with me all these, this was like 13 years ago. It still sticks with me today. When I was putting this together and I came to this point right here, it spoke to my heart. And I was reminded of what a pastor spoke to me. He said so many times, and I've learned this, he said, God spoke to me one day and shared this revelation with me. If you would learn to let your kids, come on, tell your children, tell the youth, tell those that are around you that you're fathering and you're mothering, tell them what they can do. Come on, you can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that. Tell them what they can do. Empower them a little bit. Amen. It might cure some of the rebellion that some of you are dealing with. Listen, I know the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But it might be that little bit of that empowerment, come on, telling them what they can do. And I'm not saying you can't say no. Do you understand that? But so much time we put an emphasis on no, we're not telling them what the yes is. Come on, you got older teenagers and they're like, Dad, can I take the car? I'll tell you what you can do. Because you most likely, you don't have a driving permit. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down to the what? Come on, stay with me this morning. We're going to go get a permit. What are you doing? You're empowering them. Listen, and see, here's the thing. When you empower them, you say much, yes as much as you can, and you give choices when appropriate rather than absolutes. And here's the thing. Say it once and walk away. Come on. In my house, we went through a season where we were doing what? We were repeating things a lot. Does anybody relate to this? We were repeating things a lot over and over and over. And it's in my heart. Come on. I'm just like, there's something about this that just, the Lord kept checking me about that. He said, you need to, what are you doing? You're overperforming. You're trying to please the child instead of building character and helping him, empowering him, right? And so what began to happen is I started to see tantrums. I started to see attitudes. And I'm like, Lord, God, I would give a command and my word was no good. So I began to pray about that and the Lord began to help me. Listen, and he will help you. Can you say that? Say this with me. Say the Lord. Say it with boldness. The Lord will help me. So I want to say this. Do your kids feel safe to make a mistake? Do they feel safe to make a mistake, to share how they feel even when life isn't good? Can they feel safe? Listen, can we be good listeners even when it doesn't come out right? Your kid may be screaming. I remember many instances in my own family where myself and other siblings were like, you were just going through puberty, you know, getting some hair on our chest, you know, as guys, and we're going, you're getting some more testosterone in the body, and you're like, you know. And I'm so grateful to my mom and dad that they were patient in so many ways, that it didn't meet aggression with aggression, because I probably wouldn't be living today. Do you understand that? I probably wouldn't be alive today because I'm a light guy, but how many know there's times where you can get aggressive? Amen. And so I appreciate the fact that I've seen that modeled in my life. It's okay to say mom and dad. It's okay. It's okay. When your kid understands, listen, young babies, mommy is or daddy's feeling upset right now. Come on, you need to communicate to your younger babies. Mommy and daddy's feeling upset right now. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take a break. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? Some moms of and dads of young kids, you don't think that you're allowed to get away from your kids for 5 minutes. How many of you know you're allowed to do that? You need a break. And guess what? When they get older, it's the same thing. It's okay. You need to take a break. Amen. And this is where you pay professional. Listen, believe God. There's seasons of life where Rachel and I could not afford additional dollars. We would believe God for a babysitter. And then, you know, the seed showed up and people showed up and the money showed up. And we believe God. We started setting date nights. We started setting time, because before those kids was me and my wife. Do you hear what I'm saying? So listen, they will learn to model behavior. And so here's the thing. When they learn in these things, it'll prevent them from stepping out and hitting and biting and kicking. And so here's the thing. Praise desired behaviors. Praise desired behaviors. You know, love it when your kids are kind and they help others. Listen, even like I have it written down here, even before I told you to do your homework, you did it. That's impressive. You are really responsible. Listen, praise desired behaviors. I can't say that enough. Praise desired behaviors. If you desire, come on, you're building godly behavior and you're building that in them. Praise that. Amen. Encourage that. Let them know. And then number two, teach responsibility. So when we overperform, our children underperform. How about money and allowance? Listen, when your kids go to college, it'd be cool if you teach them about money. Teach them how to manage a check register. Teach them how to handle money. That way, when they go to college, I used to work at Wells Fargo. You wouldn't believe how many students would come in and you know, it's all about sales. You do understand that, right? They're not just your banker. They're there to give you some things. And things, a lot of times, your kids don't need. Your kids don't need $25,000, you know, right out of your house in college. What do you need $25,000 credit card for? Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? Well, I could be responsible. Praise the Lord if you learn that. But there's some that I saw that came in. I knew, I'm like, Lord, I'm not, you know, I went to my manager and I'd be like, I'm not closing on this. This offer is made to this child. This kid doesn't need this. Because you can clearly tell he hasn't been taught any responsibility. Listen, teach responsibility early. Proverbs 22:6 says this. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Listen, when you buy a toy for your child, they are happy. Or versus when a child saves and earns a toy, he feels accomplished and good about himself. Come on, I want to bless my kids and give my kids things. But I've actually, at where their age is at right now, I've learned, the Lord is teaching me some things about this right now. Because he sees where they're going and what they're called to and what they're doing. And there needs to be built within them right now a sense of accomplishment from what? Saving, earning. Come on. Dad, I like my kids when they come to me and say, Dad, how can I learn to make some money? Now, how many of you know we're going to accommodate them? We're going to accommodate them, right, brother? We're going to, hey, here's some wood. Stack it. You work, you get paid. And then they see that. They go, dude. Okay, this is legit. And then what begins to happen? You begin to teach responsibility. My son's 11. He's learning responsibility. Some of you started earlier. Some of you started later. If you haven't started, listen, start. Amen. And see, here's the thing. Not only does he feel accomplished, but see, when you have chores have a purpose. It's not just like, this is how it is. Let them contribute and see that a sense of accomplishment occurs. When you give them chores, you don't have to pay them for the chores. What are you doing? You're teaching them a sense of responsibility that it's not just all, you can get paid for doing jobs, but also on the other side, the balance side of that, it's not always about getting paid. We're building character. Take out the trash. What are we doing? We're learning character. Come on. We're learning about real life. You're bringing, I know we're going a little long. If you'll oblige me, I'm going to go a few more minutes. Then we're going to wrap up shop and close out. But here's the thing I'm trying to get us to get is that we can overperform. We can raise kids. Listen, parents, you want to get in the last days of your life where I'm getting ahead of myself, but you want to enjoy your kids. Amen. And even at the age they're at right now, you could still, in parenting, how many of parenting never stops? Come on, I'm 41 years old, but I honor my mom and my dad. Parenting never stopped. I still listen. Many of us don't. I just felt led to say this, but we never should arrive at the age where we think we've arrived, where you think you never have to listen to anybody anymore. Amen? You know, the Bible says, honor your mother and father, and you'll receive length of days and long life in doing that. I mean, you know, there's no time frame that the Bible gives, the Father God gave on that scripture. It wasn't like, if you'll just honor for 3 years, right? No, honor is continual until death. And guess what? If you're born again, you're going to see each other in heaven. Amen. And there's still going to be that thing called honor. Amen. And so here's the thing. I want to go back to this. Teach them how to adult. Teach your kids how to adult. Change the laundry. Amen. How many of you know when you wash clothes, you don't mix whites and colors together? But how many of you know you wash clothes, there's people that just bundle it all together, throw it in there, and it's like, praise the Lord, it's in there, it's done. Do you hear what I'm saying? How many of you know when I go to get my black shirts that I just spent like $40, $50 on at a clothing store, which, by the way, are like really nice shirts, and I like them, and they got white little, you know what I'm talking, when we white clothes is washed with them, and you put your black shirt on, you're ready to go out. And you get it out, you put it on, you got all these white little things, you got to pick off your shirt. And not just like one, but like 1,000 of them. And to the point where a lint roller won't even get these things off for you because it's so bad. How many of you know we need to teach our kids responsibility? We need to teach these things. Maybe up here in the mountains, we get cold, right? You got propane, you got gas, you got electric, you got wood-burning stove. Get your kids out there and let them cut some wood. Come on, be with them. Help them. You're talking about Karen? I'm talking about get your teenagers out there. Yes. Get the wood splitter out. Get your axe out. Teach them. Listen, you don't want them around something sharp? Let them stack. What are you doing? You're building character. You're teaching responsibility early. Amen. And so let reality be the teacher and let nature take its course. Listen, please take the trash out. And they don't do it. Listen, this is where you need to take. If you got other siblings, you could take the other. Maybe you're paying siblings to take out the trash. This is where you could take the other siblings' money that they've, that just, you know what I'm saying? Like you got, like my kids, there's times where I pay them and they earn money. But when I give a word and it's not honored because I'm building character, teaching responsibility, and they're not obeying what I'm saying, so this is where I'm just going to pay Abby to go get the trash, and I'm going to take it out of Caleb's money. Y'all are looking at me like, you would do that? Absolutely would do that. Why? Because I want him to grow. And this is the reality of the situation, son. You don't do what I ask you to do. And listen, and I'm not being a knothead. You know what I mean by a knothead? I'm not being a knothead, but this is real life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of us, we would just mull over and say, oh, it's no big deal, son. Just do whatever you want when you want. Mm-mm. Come on, daughter, do whatever you want when you want. You're not teaching and building character within them. Listen, and if divorced, here's the thing. Here's something. If you've been divorced and remarried, I highly encourage you when it comes to teaching responsibility is potty mouth. Listen, don't potty mouth your ex. And I know you say, well, you don't know what they did for me. And I put this in my notes and I said, Lord, this is a real touchy thing right here. I said, this will get a lot of people walking out the door, but I just felt in my heart, it's just true. Come on, the love of God takes no account of a suffered wrong. That's 1 Corinthians 13. What are we doing when we potty mouth our ex all the time? What we're doing is we're telling our children that it's okay for you to do that so that when you get married, you've already built that in your character that's to trash your parent. If you trash your parent, you'll trash your wife. You trash your friends. Come on, you do you hear what I'm saying? You got potty mouth going on. Listen, don't rub their noses in it. Just say, listen, when your kids go through pain, that must have hurt, and that was hurtful. We need to learn to be referees. And I know we're bouncing around here, but this is just where we're at. Listen, we need to learn to be referees when it comes to our kids. And given the appropriate age, listen, maybe you're dealing with a teenager right now, and maybe you're dealing with a young kid, regardless of the age. Listen, there's times where they experience real hurt just like you do. Do you relate to this? Real pain, real hurt. Amen. Kids are going through stuff. They experience stuff. Maybe they're in a blended family. They just, you know, parents newly married. And kids are learning things just like you're learning things. But listen, there's times when they're going to go through hurt. There's times when they're going to go through pains. Listen, don't rub their noses in pain. Listen, just acknowledge, listen, talk to them, sit down with them, acknowledge the hurt, and then and be the parent, be the referee. Do you know what a referee does? Come on, amen. When two siblings are fighting, what do? You go in there, break them apart, and you begin the referee, man. Your parents, you're like, you sit here, and sometimes you may have to be forceful because you got two extremely strong teenagers. Amen? And then dads, what they start to do is get your adrenaline pumping, and then you feel that adrenaline you haven't felt, you know, since they were, you know, young. Or when you were young. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so don't rub their noses in pain and hurt. Referee it. Listen, the potty mouth issue. And then with teenagers, don't freak out. Let me just say this when it comes to teenagers. I was a teenager. You were a teenager. How many times did our parents freak out on us? Amen. And a lot of times parents, we freak because it's like, you did what? You did what? You know, and so I get the balance on this. But this is where, if you want your children to open up about what's going on in their life, we need to have that Kenny Rogers poker face. Anybody remember the movie The Gambler with Kenny Rogers? I watched that just last night. It was so funny. He would sit down at the table, Kenny Rogers, and that perfect beard that he has, you know, and he would sit down and he would have like all these other gamblers over around and would have all these reactions and all these facial expressions. And he just has this deadpan look. He has this poker face. And he ends up taking this other guy's money. It was like $3,000. What's your point? Sometimes, if you want your kids to continue to talk and they're in the teenager, you know, stage, and we're teaching responsibility and you're trying to build character, listen, your kids will shut down when we freak out on them. They're not going to open up to you. And I can tell you as a youth pastor, I can't tell you how many times kids would come to me and just be like, my parents just freaked. And listen, I'm talking about listening on the inside to the Holy Spirit, because there's times where you need to, I'm not talking about not addressing issues. Do you understand that? But I'm talking about like freaking out, like, okay, dude, I did that. And I've been there as a parent where I freaked out on my young kids. But you know that Jesus never freaked out on us? You can't find one instance in the gospel, come on, where Jesus just said, come on, you sinned? You sinner. You worthless, no good for nothing. You don't read that anywhere in the scriptures. What you see is he did rebuke, correct, exhort. Come on, when the woman was caught in the act of adultery, what happened, guys? All the religious people, young and old, threw her down before Jesus and said, this woman was caught in the act of an adultery. What are you going to do? How many of you know Jesus played his poker face? He did not overreact. Matter of fact, he didn't have a whole lot to say. After he drew in the sand a little bit, he got up and he said, ye who are without sin, let you cast the first stone. The Bible says, from the oldest to the greatest, they dropped the rocks and they went away. He brought the prostitute up, and what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. So there was correction and instruction to the woman. But he didn't bring guilt, shame, and condemnation. Come on, somebody. We're not to shame and bring down our kids. Listen, if you want your kids to talk, put on your poker face. Do what Jesus did. Draw on the sand a little bit. Get your notepad out. Come on, act like you're playing on your phone while you're talking to them. Sit beside. Listen, there's times where my son and daughters won't bring things up to me because I, as a dad, I'm serious. Even at their young age, I've overreacted. And I could just see them shut down. But yeah, I just kept my poker face, kept talking to them. And I'm like, what? And then what happens? What happens comes out. You talk things out. And then what happens? You know? Pain is healed. You know the woman caught in the act of adultery? You think she was feeling it? Man, here's the Messiah. Here's the prophet. Come on, here's Jesus. And they're throwing me down in front of a man of God. Come on, do you know the anointing, the glory? Come on, that which is on Jesus. Come on, when that woman was thrown down, she experienced the compassion, the love of God, and it brought swift correction. Listen, I'm not talking about being mealy-mouthed. I'm talking about a parent, and I really feel in context to what we're saying, this is such a value to even to adults, talking to adults, not even overreacting to one another. Husbands and wives, maybe we could just put on our poker face and let our spouses and let our friends and let our kids, this could be applicable in every area of life. Listen, let them get out what they need to get out. Amen. And so number three, live your priorities. Listen, if you're married, God one, spouse two, children three. And you say, well, what are you talking about? If you're married, church, then job, and sports, etc. Live your priorities in front of your children. Your kids need to see it. Amen. And so you need to get on the same page as your spouse and your priorities and live them out loud. Listen, see, here's the thing. Your child needs your influence and attention. He needs your influence and attention. Influence and attention, which cannot be given by a baseball coach, a football coach alone. That kid craves attention from you. Others can come into their lives to help build character, but those kids need you. Listen, they can't replace the attention that your kid craves from you. Amen. And so here's the thing when it comes to electronics. No one speak, and we're getting ready to wrap this, and we'll pick up next week. There's the electronic foul. Some of us are so on our phones that even when we're with our kids, we can't even put our phones down long enough to minister to our children. We need to allow our kids. Come on, when we're in the car, car time is great teaching time. But the car time is not the only time that we're bringing and building character with our kids. They need to be at home. They need to be out and about. They need to be hearing from you. Amen. And when we're on our phones, we're giving so much attention to our phone. Listen, if you're in Wendy's right up here and you got your kids with you, your kids are talking to you, there's moments where you can be on your phone where you're missing amazing times with your children. When you got them at Wendy's and say, like, there's times where I'm eating out with Caleb and Abby and I got my kids with me, listen, I want to go to my phone, but I know in my heart I got to turn that off. My kids need to hear my voice. Amen. They need to hear your voice. Amen. My kid loves to be online. But there's so much value with him and I just driving over to Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg, turning off the... You know what's great about going 441 to Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg? Is you don't even get a signal most of the time. So your phones don't even work, and it's an invaluable time. I've got no signal anyways, so you might as well just go ahead and communicate with one another. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you want to help break that and you live here in the mountains, just go make some trips up in the parkway and your cell phone reception will be lost and it will make you have conversation. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, we need to realize each parent might do better with a certain age bracket, and I get that. Some of you moms and dads in here, you're great with toddlers. You may be better with teenagers. This is where you live your priorities out with one another and you talk things out. If you're better with teenagers, listen, there's times my wife is excellent with Caleb and I'm good with my babies, my toddler. And it's not that I don't have a desire, but there's times where you need to work together, amen? And you need to allow each other to speak into each other's lives, into your kids' life. Listen, as parents, many times we speak when we should listen. Let me hit this one last time and then we're going to close here. A timely pause or a nod of your head encourages your child to talk more. Again, we're talking about not freaking out. We're talking about living your priorities. Listen, don't always give your opinion or judge them or tell them what to do. Listen, the goal is to ask them their opinion, to get their opinion. And you'll find when they are able to give their opinion and open up and talk and dialogue, then you'll find that you're able to speak into their life and give some insight. You won't find your kids so closed down. You won't find them so shut off. What are you saying? I'm saying living your priorities. Amen. And so maybe, you know, your kid is not as athletic as you are. My dad was a very athletic person. He's sitting here in the back. He could take a baseball and throw it about 80, 90 miles an hour. How fast could you throw? 80, okay, so he could throw. He was a high school pitcher and on a state championship baseball team in Florida. That whole area was good at baseball. This dude could take a baseball. I went out with him, and we played some leagues, and I would never want to catch because, you know, you think 88 miles an hour is not fast. Let me tell you, when that ball's coming at 88 miles an hour, it's humming. It's singing to you. It's going, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. I'm, oh, and it's like pain behind that. When you hear the, and it hits your glove, you're like, oh. It's like watching Nolan Ryan. Anybody remember Nolan Ryan pitch a baseball? Man, the catchers, I've heard catchers say, that dude would make the catcher's mitt like sting. Amen. And so I'm not as athletic as my dad. What's your point? But see, we need to work with our kids in their personality and their bent. One of the things I loved about my dad is I wasn't as athletic as he was, but I loved how my mom and dad worked with me. You know what I mean? They worked with my personality. Even though there was other siblings, they worked with me. Learn to work with your kid's personality. And they may be different than the other kid. And they may not be as athletic as you are. We'll say, well, I'm just all about athletics. Well, that's great. Maybe they're just about reading and poetry. Learn to get on their level. Amen. I love to fish. There's people in this room. My sister over here, she loves to fish too. I love to fish. I grew up in a fishing family. That's something I learned to do. My dad taught me that. My mom taught me that. We would go on the St. John's River down in Florida, and we would fish. Come on, we bank fish, boat fish. Do you hear what I'm saying? We get those big old catfish. It was just so much fun. And so what are you saying? Listen, we need to move forward and say things like, I love you liberally, and don't be stingy with it. Listen, we need, whether your kid's an introvert or an extrovert, closing right here. Amen. Closing right here. Whether your kid's an introvert or an extrovert, whether they're athletic or not, you know, the question should always be, how can I be a better dad? How can I be a better mom? Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. Right here. Holy Spirit, help me. And create some family spirit and traditions. So in closing today, there's a lot of context here. We're usually done by 11:30. But I just wanted to share and get through about half of this next week. We're going to pick up and share a little bit more, and it shouldn't be as long. But here's what I want to do, if you'll stand with me. Amen. We're going to go ahead and close this thing out. What are you saying this morning? I'm saying there's different discipline types, and we in different authoritarian, permissive, and reality. We said that when we overperform, amen, our children underperform. Praise God. We made this statement, teach responsibility early. Live your priorities. Amen. We need to understand this. Your kids, can I just say this? Your kids are going to hit puberty. And here's the fun thing, when kids hit puberty, this thing starts all over again. The goal is to get them to the concluding stage before leaving home. How many of you know there's some conclusions that you want to help your children, come on, draw, if you could say it like that, before they leave home? If they can learn, come on, how to listen, if they can learn some basic characters, you know, taking out the trash, keeping a clean home. What has this got to do? Well, I keep a dirty house. Listen, I'm not picking. You're just getting the point. Maybe you're a hoarder, and you like to hoard things. You could care about cleanliness and any of that stuff. I know I'm meddling, but I'm just having fun this morning because I know some of my family members, I wouldn't really hang out in their house long. That's just the fact. Can we just be honest? It's because their house is gross. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's like when you're out doing street evangelism and you're around, you know, this is, I'll just be honest with you. You know, a lot of people hate street evangelism because they just get around to dirty people. Man, I've been out, some of you in here, you've been out on the streets. We've been out on the streets and you're like, I can't. We need to move past. Listen, sometimes people smell, but they need to know who Jesus is. Come on, it may require, you know how many houses I went into, amen, over the years? I didn't really want to be in. People weren't taught anything. You could tell that there was no parental guidance. Come on, a lot of people are where they are because of these simple truths that we spent a little bit of time explaining this morning. I know this ain't the shout, run around the building, woo, kind of message, which we do that a lot. Amen. We preach it and we teach it. But here's the thing. We need some of these messages on a consistent basis. Why? Because you have a generation of young people out there, right?